Get started. Hello, everybody. Hope we're doing all right today. My name is Matt Smith. I'm going to be teaching today's class, Marina Food and Beverage 101. Thank you all for attending and coming in. I want to thank Marina Dock Age for having me here. I've been excited to be here. Poor Anna trying to communicate with me through the season. And as soon as the season was over, me and my wife had twins, so she's... We've been trying to get in touch with each other all we could, but glad to be here. A little bit about me. I started in the restaurant industry when I was 60. Been in it 17 years now. And kind of to make a long story short, that experience took me to bartending school, Knoxville Bartending School. Me and my buddy took that over, and we operated that for 4 years. One of the biggest surprises I had running that school was I was assuming it was going to be a bunch of 18-year-olds. I wanted to be at the bar. Sounded like a good excuse for a job at the time. But I was shocked by how many new owners were coming to my school. East Tennessee is relatively dry. There's not a lot of small counties outside the big cities that serve alcohol. So when people started serving alcohol, and this was allowed and passed, this was a completely new ball game for a lot of different people. So we started getting a lot of people into my school. One theme I started seeing was a lot of marina owners. And again, this consulting picked up where I started doing this full time. Towards the end, it was mainly focused on marinas. Again, you have great people, great owners. They know the marina business. They don't know the restaurant business. So I would go in and help any way I could. And that kind of led me to my last gig, which was at Norris Landing Marina. And they haven't let me left. So I've been there. We've had a lot of success. And I've seen the way it trickles across to the marina business, to your ship store business, and how it affects your entire marina. So today I'm just here to teach you and go over some of the things I've learned in my process. Now this program is more focused on you're kicking around opening a restaurant. You're wanting to add on. These are some of the things you're going to consider going into it. So we're going to get started. I know there's a lot of classes, and I know some of you probably already have restaurants up and going. So I understand if you do want to jump to another class, you know, us going over this, but we'd love to have you. I know towards the end, we're going to go over some of our goal numbers that you want to meet with a restaurant. We're going to talk about POS, training, and stuff like that. But a lot of the front half is going to be starting of the restaurant. Kind of a quick view of what we will be covering. We're going to go over the benefits to having a restaurant at your marina, as simple as that may seem, and same with negatives. There's certainly negatives that come with operating a restaurant at your marina. We're going to talk about some of the more popular ones. Knowing your limitations, what you can do, like what you're able to do, financial and as far as space, what can you do? Knowing some of your initial costs. This is a big surprise to a lot of people wanting to add on a restaurant or opening a restaurant, the costs that come with it. Pre-opening training, preparing to open the doors, some common denominators I've seen in failing bars. Again, when I'm consulting, first thing I want to know is, why isn't it going right? You know, what's the culture? What's the management? You know, what processes are you using? And I'm going to go over some of the common denominators I've seen. And then some of the goals to strive for, what you want your restaurant, your food cost. How can you get that food cost? Understanding food cost, labor cost. There's a lot of different things that go into that. It's simple up front, but a lot of things go into that. So let's get started. Benefits to having a restaurant at your marina. Okay. What are the positives? You know, of course, a lot of the people I've talked to that want to open a restaurant, it's that I love to cook. I make a really good spaghetti, you know. And you'll realize after that first night that joy's gone. You know, this is pumping out, churning food, okay. But there are benefits that come with it. One of those is the obvious extra revenue. And that sounds a little obvious, but it's not just extra revenue in your restaurant. It's increased overall. You know, you got people coming through your ship store. You got people that want to rent there because I want to go eat your food after we're done renting that boat, okay? Again, it's drawn people to our boat slips, to our RV slips, because they like a good restaurant. You know, that's an important thing. And kind of what I touched on a second ago, Foot traffic. You got people in your marina, okay? Can't make sales if they're not there, okay? This is another thing to bring them to you. Then amenities for your tenants. You know, some of the first questions I've dealt with when someone's coming up looking at our marina, looking at our slips, you know, what do they got going on? What's local? What can my kids do? Because, again, we're not going to be on the boat 24/7. So, again, it adds another amenity. What are the negatives? Certainly there are going to be negatives. Restaurant is a monster. It is a multitasking, so many different facet monster, you know. So there's certainly negatives. One of those is the extra cost, especially up front. Again, the average restaurant to open from scratch is around $275,000. It's not building the building. That's everything you need inside. That's your print, training, top to bottom, okay? Now, of course, you could do that for cheaper. If you already have the space, you can find some used equipment, things along that line. But the average cost is $275,000. A lot of my experiences with Longhorn Steakhouse when I was in the restaurants, and I know based off their model, from scratch, it costs $2 million to build a restaurant. To just do the inside, they were looking at $350,000. So you can get an idea. Again, at Longhorns, they're going to do it as many times as they've done it. They've got it figured out, and they're going to do it as cheap as they can. So it's a costly endeavor, and it's also costly to get going. You need working capital. You need to be able to buy $10,000 worth of food, $10,000 worth of alcohol. You know, you need this working capital. So, you know, I've spoke with people who had $10,000, $15,000 that they're wanting to put towards it, and that's tough. And we've tried it. I've looked at it. I mean, you're working with a George Foreman grill, you know, pumping things out of a counter. You know, it's very simplistic, you know, but it is costly. Liability, especially when you start serving alcohol, okay? These big events, most of the time if you serve alcohol, you also need to have live entertainment too. It kind of goes hand in hand. And again, you run the risk of injury, especially if you have a dock that's floating over water. They got to walk down this long dock to get. I mean, there's risk calculated in that, of course. And then there's over-serving. You know, over-serving someone, an accident would happen. Again, a lot of my expertise is in alcohol, and I could tell you, if an accident happens, first thing they're doing, they're coming to your marina. They're going to know when they sat down. How long were they there? Let me see a copy of their ticket. They're here for an hour and have four shots? That's probably not good. You know, so there are risks that go with this, okay? And getting into the training, which I'll touch into in a little bit, is really important, especially when it comes to alcohol service. Increased staff. One of the first things I always tell people is running a restaurant's easy. It's managing the staff. That's the hard part, okay? Especially for a marina. Especially one that's seasonal, okay? Most people who walk into a restaurant for a job, it's a means to an end. They're not coming in there for a career or to retire. It's a means to an end. It's a summer job. It's so I can go to school. Then you mix in there that this is only temporary for a lot of marinas. You know, some are 12 months, but, hey, I'm going to work you for 7 months, and then you got to figure it out, you know? So keeping that staff is difficult. Training that staff. Again, I'm really going to dive into training in a little bit, but having an untrained staff of restaurant, front and back of house, is one of the worst things, absolute worst things. You need to spend the time and the money to train them. So, but again, with increased staff, that's what you're dealing with. And then you have the scheduling. You know, are you going to have a manager to manage this, or are you going to do this? Because you're going to have interviews, hiring process, paperwork. There's a lot, most... Just marinas, you're dealing with 5 to 10 staff members. Again, a restaurant on a given Saturday, a memorial, you have 50 staff members in your restaurant, if not more. So it's a growing, living thing, okay? Know your limitations. What can you do, okay? What kind of space do you have, all right? What are the regulations on the lake you're at? Know these limitations, okay? If you have a certain space that you're going to work with, Know that space. How big is your kitchen? That'll tell you how many different things you'll have on your menu. Okay? You have a small kitchen, don't do it to your staff. You want a simple menu. Okay? You only have 5-6 tables to work with. Well, then you don't want a full service restaurant. You want a quick service where you can get them in and out. So knowing what you have to work with is key. Okay? The financial side of it, of course. Again, I got into the average cost, $275,000. Okay? What can you afford? Are you self-funding this? Are you looking for funding? Do you understand the down payment that comes with this type of funding? So knowing what you can do, again, start with financials. That, again, that'll tell you where to go next. Restaurant space, again. Space will dictate what you can do, how many people. All right? My goal would not be to have people come into my restaurant, sit and stay, if I had limited space. I'd want to get them in and out. Okay? So I can keep churning it. Kind of go, instead of the full restaurant, go to the quick service. Come to a counter. Here's your food, eat, and then they go, okay? Again, you can't have a full-service restaurant with 500 square feet of dining space. It's not going to work. It's not going to work. One thing you can do, too, is once you start lining up this restaurant space, get the fire marshal in there, and they'll tell you how much you could fit in there and the size you can have, okay? And then you could base it off that number, all right? You're going to pack it out every day? No, but it gives you your max. It gives you your max potential, okay? Expected traffic. It's one thing my marina has dealt with this year. This year is the first year we've been fully full on our boat slips, our campgrounds, our houseboats. Our restaurant keeps gaining a reputation. We ran out of parking spaces this year. And not just in the parking lot, but the boats. Where are we going to put them? There needs to be a flow to it. These are things you need to map out, okay? Because if there's no parking, first thing they do is they go find that boat slip that's empty. And that's never a good thing when they come back, because usually they'll send it down the river, all right? And that becomes your problem then, okay? So put a plan in place. You know, wherever they're going to be parking, you're going to need the guards on the side to protect their boat. You're going to need the cleats so they can tie off on. You need to be prepared for this traffic. Finding your niche. Well, what are you going to do? What's special about your restaurant? Okay? What are you doing different than anybody else down the lake? All right? Or make sure you don't do something the same as someone right next door to you. All right? Finding your niche, finding where you belong in this market. All right? One of the first things you need to look at is your marina and lake client base. All right? Are you a high-end marina? Are you an affordable marina? You know, or it's typically most of your clients in the later years, and they have these expensive toys, or is it the family, you know, with the kids, and you get a boat slip for $125. What are you? Okay, because those are the people you need to go for. Those are the people you are building this for. Okay, there's no sense of having a 5-star restaurant attached to your marina if it's a bunch of working middle class families. They may come once or twice a year. That's not my goal. I want you to come every time you go, okay? What type of customers do you have coming into your marina from the lake? Is this lake filled with high-end customers? All right, or is it the family? Know your market, okay? I tell people, McDonald's makes a lot of money, and they're cheap. All right, so you don't have to sell $30 steaks to be profitable when serving food. I know all of you here have heard it if you don't have a restaurant. You serve food. Why don't y'all serve food? You need to serve food, okay? But serving the right food is what you need to do. Also in this, look at your local support. You know, if you have good local support and you could get to your marina, you're building your restaurant in a safe manner in the snowy, icy time, are you going to try to be open 12 months out of the year? Or is this just a seasonal thing? Okay, a lot of marinas that I've dealt with, they've tried the local support. And a lot of the marinas here in Tennessee, I can tell you, are on the side of a mountain going up a cliff. And then when you get to the marina, you got to walk down a a walkway that almost goes straight down. People are not doing that in the winter, okay? So you need, again, these are the things you need to realize up front and focus your business plan on what you are. I can tell you again with our marina, first 2 years, we did everything we can to pull in the locals. We did weekday specials. Again, weekend specials. We did everything, okay? Well, what I noticed happen is, one, again, the locals wasn't supporting it, but what I was doing is I was discounting my product to everybody who was coming in there. You know, people walk in, didn't know it was Wing Wednesday. Well, that's great. I'll pay 50 cents a wing. But they would have paid a dollar if they didn't come because of these specials. All right, and we were shooting ourselves in the foot doing all this stuff to bring in the locals. And really, we should have been focused on the 80-20 rule. 80% of our business is from tourists and people on the slate. Yet we were trying to bring in the locals so we could be 12 months out of the year. Know what you are. Know your client base, okay? I could tell you, again, we ended up just cutting that. And we focused on our late customers, all right? So know your economy. Know what's around you. Know your town. Is your marina easily accessible, even in the wintertime? You know, are you somewhat close to town and not tucked away in the back roads? If not, then that's an option. But if you are, don't try to be something you're not, I guess you'd say. Again, full service or quick service? Full service is exactly what it sounds like. You walk in, you sit down, they take care of everything. Okay? At the end of the meal, you pay and you leave. All right? Typically, you have a wait staff. You have a bar with alcohol, liquor, wine, the whole gamut. All right? In the menu, the menu is extensive. You have more options. You have the salads. You have the desserts. That's a full service. Again, it's high risk, high reward, right? You're going to make more profit if you do it right, built off that, or at least the gross. You're going to make more profit off a high-end restaurant, obviously. At the same time, knowing what you have, quick service may be better. I have very limited space. I don't even know if I have enough room for a couple tables. Then quick service would be the answer, okay? Again, you can get them in, get them out. Typically, that's going up to a counter, ordering it, sitting, and serving yourself, okay? Competition. You know, is your next-door neighbor got this awesome setup for an outside patio with cornhole and all this fun stuff already set up, and they're kind of, their market is the nightlife. That's where they bring people in. Well, if they have this set up and I know I can't compete with that, well, then that's not going to be what I focus on. And that's kind of based off what we did at this last marina at the North Landing. Bubba Brews, I don't know if anyone's heard of Bubba Brews. Huge outfit. Okay, they have bands from all over. I knew going in here when I was helping him work on his restaurant, we wasn't going to compete with them. Well, our place was good food, good service. There was a big party, dive bar type atmosphere. Us was the good service. So that was our focus. Okay, so know your competition. Okay? You need to be different. Is it saturated? You know, is there 10 marinas within a mile or two of what you're wanting to do? You need to know what they're doing. Okay? Right down the road locally, there's a barbecue joint 2 miles from your marina. I probably don't want to focus on barbecue being my main seller. Okay? Find your spot, find your niche. Entertainment. It's almost a must with alcohol, especially at marinas. Okay. Now, there's different ways people do it. Entertainment's not just music. Entertainment's karaoke, trivia. Of course, you have the bands, the solo bands. What I've noticed in a lot at our lake is what they'll do is on Friday is typically a solo artist. Saturday's a big band, and Sunday's kind of acoustic setting. Sunday, you're kind of ending the week. I don't want anything crazy. It's just nice tunes in the background, okay? But you got to have that, and you need to know what you can afford. This goes into your cost, your daily cost of operating, okay? Now, you can get some really great bands for $2,000 to $5,000 if that's what you want. But you would also have to pack the place out. You'd have to sell tickets. Is that what you want to do? We don't charge a cover at our marina. So we find the earlier stage bands, okay? People trying to get going. Now, Saturday, we'll typically have a band that we pay $500 at most, okay? Which is more than, makes all of our residents more than happy, okay? I'm not trying to get a band signed. I'm trying to give entertainment. But don't overpay. That's something I've seen, okay? I've seen happen. I've seen it cripple bars because that's the type of entertainment they try to book every single week. And then at the same time, selling $1.50 beers. You know, you can't, all this has to go together. You have expensive bands. Your prices need to see that. People getting in the door, they probably need to pay a cover charge if you're paying something like that. So get what's appropriate for you. Now, a comedian on Saturday night probably isn't your best bet, okay? Things like that, entertainers and stuff, that's fun to do during the week. All right, trivia, there's something called Singo. I don't know if y'all have heard of. That's really popular. It's a musical version of bingo. People eat that stuff up. But again, it kind of goes back to me saying, well, us doing this previous marina, we're doing all these specials, all this weekday stuff, and the only audience we're getting is the people that would have been coming anyway. You know, so again, the special isn't to give people a deal, it's to get you in the door. And I'm not sure we were accomplishing that. So we changed that. So be careful if you do that. Okay, 80-20. If 80% of your business is coming from the tourists and the lake people, then focus on that. Okay? Focus. Don't chase that 20. All right? You'll spend a lot of money chasing that 20. Menu. Need to lock in your specialty. What are you? You know, real popular for marina restaurants is I'm going to serve seafood. What is it going to take to get seafood to where you're at? Okay? Is it going to be fresh? If you're a high-end restaurant, you can't serve frozen lobster tails. You know, that's not, everything's fresh, the higher end. So what are you going for? Okay? Have that focused on your marina, focused on your menu. Same thing with the quality of your menu. That's one of my pet peeves. You know, you come in and it's the whole word perfect centered right down the page, printed and laminated. You need to brand this menu. This menu needs to be a part of you. The same thing with your tabletops, your business card, even your uniforms. All this needs to blend together, okay? Now, it's a choice of yours whether you do its own separate name or you keep it as just the grill. You know, again, I'll use us as an example. North Landing Marina, our restaurant's called Jimmy's Place. All right, it's two separate things, which is good and bad. I guess if you have a bad reputation, that's good because it's not stained to your marina. But at the same time, we went to boat shows last year in Knoxville. We were right outside of Knoxville. And we'd meet all kind of people. Have you ever heard of North Landing Marina? No. Jimmy's Place? Yes, I've heard of that. I've heard of that. So we have more people know us for our restaurant than our marina. Okay? So sometimes it can go both ways, you know, but sometimes it's good to separate it. Again, you'll stay away from the bad reputation, but the good reputation also isn't connected to your marina that way too. So, but again, you need to brand everything on your menu and menu placement. You know, I could have a whole hour-long talk just about menu placement and strategies of how you put your menu together. You know, there's different spots. Under entrees, the first thing that right under your entree, the first one up top is the first thing they're going to read. You know, that needs to be your most profitable item. Put it right there, okay? Same thing with prices. They say one of the worst things you can do is have the prices all lined up on the right side column, $20. Because what are they doing now? Now I'm eating with my eyes first. First thing I'm looking at, whoop, $12, yeah, that'll work. Chicken fingers. You know, I don't want to. I don't want them to do that. I just tag it right at the end of the description I'm giving of the entree, okay? Little bitty things like that, menu placement, where you put things. It needs to have a flow to it. You need to guide them through that menu, okay? That's why when you open the first thing, you have your appetizers. Now, some people on their real profitable items, they'll have a little picture by it. Make it look good. That's what I want. Again, they're trying to push these items, and you need to make sure you push the correct items, okay? Some items you have are great for food cost. We do fried pickles. selling for $8. They maybe cost us $1.50. That's a great food cost, okay? But look at the profit there, you know? I could sell a ribeye, cost me with sides and everything. We're looking at $12. I'll sell it for $28. Now, my food cost, percentage-wise, isn't going to be as good as the pickles. But I'd have to sell a couple pickles to make what I've just made off that one steak, okay? So don't live and die by percentages, but what you want to sell, you need to feature that. Whether it's a star, Jimmy's Place special, you know, fan favorite, guide them to what you want them to order, okay? Also, kids' menus. You wouldn't believe how much that pops up. How many times I'm asked that question. Do you allow adults to eat off the kid menu? Little things like that, okay? And me and my experience, it's not worth policing it. I can tell you that. We always serve kid meals with a kid. They get a drink for free. So if you're not a kid, you don't get a free drink, you know? But again, some people come in, they want snack size. I'm hot. I'm not trying to eat a half-pound burger right now. You know, I just want two chicken fingers and some fries. So again, have that policy in place. How are you going to handle it? All right. Again, I can tell you from experience, it ain't worth fighting or policing. Knowing some of your initial costs, we're going to go over this so you have an idea of some of the costs that go along with this. And again, I know a lot of you probably already have a restaurant going and can attest to some of these. So we're just going to skim through them, and I want to dive into more of the strategy and labor costs and things like that. But legal and administrative fees, some situations you need an attorney for contracts, a partnership agreement, financial statements. If you need help gathering this information, you can imagine fees of $1,000 to $5,000, depending on the biggest fee is your lawyer. So depending on what you need to do with that lawyer. Utilities, you're going to have an increase in utilities. HVAC, your air conditioning, that's a big room. You're going to have to keep cool. Electric, water, TV subscriptions. Maybe you don't have DirecTV. You're going to need TVs in a restaurant, especially with a bar setting, with sports and all that. Music subscription, Pandora, something playing in that restaurant. You can't have just dead silence in there. You have to have kind of set the mood in there. So, again, there's some increased utilities with it. Renovation and property improvements. And, of course, this will vary. It'll vary on your space, what you're trying to do, and where you're building this. Is this an add-on? Do you already have some open space not being utilized? What are you going to need to do? Bathroom. I've seen plumbing be an issue. I've seen a marina get built out on top of the water, and they're having problems pumping that sewage all the way uphill back to the shore. Okay. These are things you got to think about. You know, we had to double up the pump size on it to get it pumped up there. That's not cheap, okay? So making that restaurant work for what you want to do is something you need to review. Kitchen and supplies. To build a commercial kitchen, you're looking at $15,000 minimum. I mean, that's a commercial kitchen. We're talking hood vents, coolers, grill, and that is very, very being very nice with that $15,000. You can't go very far with it. And you're basically serving the sandwiches kind of deal. You know, some can get up to $100,000. You know, it kind of depends on what you're doing. Know what you're doing. All right. I don't need 10 fryers if I've only got two fried dishes. You understand? I don't need all these grills. I don't need two, 6 foot tall ovens if I'm not going to use them, okay? So knowing your menu before you design your kitchen and kind of what you're wanting to do is really important. But you're also looking at, again, the average kitchen will have 5 or 6 coolers in it, okay? Those are $1,000 a piece. You're looking at plates, silverware, glasses, a lot of that stuff, and utensils back there. A lot of that stuff goes into it. And then a lot of the equipment runs off two things. It's either propane or electric. Propane's cheaper for the equipment up front, but there's a lot more headache with it, okay? Electric, again, you're going to pay 3-4 times for that equipment up front, but it's worth it in the long run, okay? Your kitchen won't get as hot. Again, you're not going to run out of electricity, hopefully, if you're paying the bills. But, you know, again, do you want to save up front or you want it better for the long run? Okay, I'd say go electric. That would be my suggestion. It gets hot in there in July, and you got open flames going to your big six-foot flat grill. It gets hot in there quick, okay? We've come up with some creative ideas to cool it off in there, but none of them work, okay? Spent a lot of money trying to, and I could have just bought an electric grill, okay? So I learned that the hard way, okay? Stay away from propane if you can. It's just, again, it's just more headache. Furniture, tables, bars. I can tell you, I've helped build bars. The average bar, you're going to spend about $20,000 just on bars. Then you're looking at furniture. You know, you're talking your host stand, your waiting lobby, your tables, your bar stools. This stuff adds up, okay? And honestly, again, 50 is very, very nice. Again, that stuff, and of course, goes into how big you are, how big your restaurant is. Are you also building this patio space that you now have to furnish? And a lot of stuff goes into that. Insurance. The average restaurant spends around $6,000 a year on insurance. Now, most of you already have an insurance policy that you're just going to bundle it in together, okay? But it is an initial cost, and a lot of times they want that chunk up front. Permits and licensing. Okay, the permits, you're looking at business license, getting set up with your local health department. Again, you could, if you're not serving alcohol, this is very affordable. But again, when you get into serving alcohol, that's when you have to pay the liquor license. That's going to be around $4,000 or $5,000, okay? And that's yearly. That you have to pay yearly. So, again, if you got a small space, are you going to sell liquor? I would sell bottled beers out of a cooler in the back if you have a small space. Liquor means, you're full. You're doing some money, okay? Now, the liquor tax is something else to keep in mind, too. I know in Tennessee it's around 24%. That's a chunk, okay? And we have a CPA that pays it quarterly. I would highly suggest you do that, okay? That is going to be a large chunk of money that you have to write them and pay them off, and they're not going to let you renew it next year unless that's covered, okay? So look at it. If you go the liquor route, again, try to pay that quarterly just to stay ahead of it. But the biggest cost would be the liquor license. Accounting and payroll. Again, you may want to use accountant. A lot of small operations just use QuickBooks and connect it to their point of sale system. You could do that. But again, we use the CPA for paying these taxes on this alcohol. Another thing that goes in payroll, you know, what is your current structure? Current structure set up to pay 5 employees. How is that going to go when you're paying 55 come July? You know, is that going to be too much for you? You know, a lot of these payroll companies, you could even come on seasonally, work out some deal where, again, they help you seasonally. Then when all the temporaries, the seasonal people go, you can go back to paying your payroll the way you're doing it. But it's something that you have to keep in mind. And most of the time, it's a percentage thing, how a payroll company. You know, if I'm paying you $500 a week, they're going to charge 2% of that $500, and I'm paying on top of that. So gives you an idea of how they work. But sometimes, again, when you got large staff, it could be very beneficial. Again, they'll handle your workers' comp, all this type of stuff. And sometimes they'll even offer insurance policy to your employees, you know, and it kind of covers you as far as giving people insurance. So point of sale system, I'm going to take a minute on this one. Point of sale system. This is something that can spiral out of control very quickly. If you've bought it, it changes every year. Again, when I started at this marina, they had a 2-year-old system that they just paid $30,000 for. That's already out of date, okay? It crashed every weekend, which again, just made it even more chaotic. Be careful with this, is what I tell you. Be very careful. Do your research. This stuff isn't cheap, okay? They have a few different ones you can do. One is where you pay a monthly subscription. Typically, in the monthly subscription, they're going to give you all the equipment for free sometimes. They'll come. That's what you're paying for, that lease, for that equipment. There's no upfront cost. There's no install cost. Maybe a little training cost. But that POS system is just $200 a month, okay, which is good. But what a lot of those POS companies do, too, is they have integrated credit card systems with their point of sale, okay? That scares the shit out of me, okay, if I'm being honest, okay? I'm going to let you come in. You're going to have this whole setup. You're going to install all this stuff. What happens if that credit card number, that percentage slowly increases? I can make you promise they won't, you know. But slowly increases. I have no control over that. The only thing I can do is tell you to get all your stuff out of here, and then in the middle of the season, I'm trying to bring something else in. And it's usually a 30 to 60-day process to put in a new system, okay? Be careful. You know, that's kept me from suggesting and working with POS companies. Now, not all of them. You know, they're not all out to get you. But it makes me nervous because I have no control. You know, right now I have a POS system, and it integrates with my merchant services, okay? And I know if my merchant services aren't doing what they promised me to do, I can get somebody else. And I keep moving, all right? Again, that's up to you to decide, but do your research on it. What are their percentages? What are they going to charge you? Is this locked in? You know, is this guaranteed? And you lock it in at least for this season. That way in the out of season, I could decide if I want to tell you to get your stuff out or not. You know, look at that stuff. All right. I've seen a lot of people get burnt. Or again, like the owners of the marine I work at, they bought this $30,000 system, you know. Software, hardware, paid a big fee. They set it up. They got out the door. You're not going to get them on the phone to help you or to talk to you about this stuff. So that's one of those done deal type of setups. You know, your customer support isn't going to be what you may need it to be. Another really popular point of sale system right now is iPad based. You know, you set it up on an iPad. All your printers, everything that goes to the kitchen is running off that iPad. I seem to lean towards that. You know, one, I'm not paying $30,000 up front, okay? And two, you're not locking me into your credit card system, you know? If I'm using an iPad-based POS system and I don't like you, all I got to do is pick another one, you know? I wouldn't do that mid-season. But I don't have to change everything I'm doing. I don't have to rip out all these wires that I've just rent. I don't have to do any of that. I just change softwares, okay? Now, there's a lot of really good ones and some that are integrated together that are worth working with. But know that number, you know, mention to them. You know, can I bring my own merchant service into this? And then if they say no or you see that hesitation, they'll say, well, I'm going to need some guarantees. I'm going to need some locks from this time to this time, what my rate's going to be. And going into next season, if you want to discuss that, we can discuss that. But I don't want you jacking this up mid-season, okay? So be very careful with that. Opening advertising and marketing plan, you know? Suggested you really roll out. Let people know you're there, all right? Now, this is across the board. You can work with some of these marketing companies, tell them your budget, and they'll put a plan together. I like doing that because marketing is nothing but guessing anyway. I'd rather have someone who's going to take an educated guess on this, okay? So really roll this out. And that's not just radio ads. I mean, advertising, we're talking about signage. It's things you're going to hang out by the road, brochures, business cards, things you're going to pass out, all right? You want to get out there. You want to have a presence and get people excited about opening it. So what are the next steps? You figure out who you are, what you want to be. What do you do next? Business plan. It doesn't matter if you're self-funding the entire thing. You know, and a lot of you, I'm sure, know this. But put a business plan together. It's giving you a template of what you're going to be doing. And I think I dive into it in a second. But you need to know what you're doing month by month. There's so much to do. So much to do. And if you're just, well, I'm going to do this part, you won't. You need to structure this out, okay? Now, I recommend if you have the time and you have the option to do a 12-month setup. That way you have time to focus on each individual department. And after the class, I have a lot of files that I've collected over the years of server checkouts, opening closing checkouts, business plan, all this type of stuff. Again, I'll get into that in a second, but a lot of this structural type stuff, management training, bartending training, that if anyone's interested after this class, come up, give me your email, and when I get a chance, I'll send it to you, okay? But having all this in order, the business plan is, you got to have it if you're looking for funding, but even if not, okay, it's your plan of action. Make you one. Take the time to do this. As much as you're investing, take the time. When your sales projections, again, that's bigger on if you're getting financed, but it also gives you an idea of goals. You need to set goals, you know, and putting an educated guess on how many people you're going to have rolling through your restaurant is also going to tell you how many servers you're going to have, how many managers you need to have, how many people need to be in that kitchen, how much food to buy, okay? So putting a one-year sales projection gives you an idea of what you're walking into. And then after the first year, you're using your numbers, okay? Always beat last year. That's always my focus every year of the restaurant. I want to beat last year. And that gives me the motivation. It gives them the motivation, okay? I don't care what the number is. I want to do better this year, okay? And it also gives you an idea of, you know, especially after you get a few years going into the after years projection, okay? Again, I'm looking at year three. This week, the past 2 years, we did this much in sales. So I know I'm probably going to need to at least have this many staff people in this kitchen. We need to make sure we have this kind of food, this much food ready. Gives you an idea of what you got coming. Branding. Again, what are you going to call it? Is it going to be Marina Grill? Are you going to have a whole theme? Are you going to have a logo? All right? And this branding needs to go across the board. Again, to your menus, to your social media, to your uniforms, your business cards, brochures, tabletop. Brand yourself. And make sure it all goes together. Make sure your decor goes with it, okay? Seafood with a big bull head sticking out the side of the wall, that doesn't go together, okay? Make sure it flows. Get your financials in order. If you are looking for funding, again, this is the time you start putting your financials. But you have a business plan. You have a one-year projection, and you have a branding. You have who you are. Now you have something to sell for this funding. And again, back to what I was talking about, a 12-month milestone checklist. It's one of the most beneficial things I've given people opening a restaurant. Okay? Because it's always, what do I do next? What do I do first? You know, where do I start? And this checklist gives them that. Okay, and it gives you, in that 12, it gives you significant time to focus on that part. All right, restaurant is a combination of doing a lot of little things right. Okay, so having this stuff structured is very important. Management staff in place. This is time you start getting your core people in place. Okay, the average sizable restaurant will at least have a general manager, a kitchen manager, and a front of the house manager. Front of the house is the servers, host, and bartenders. Okay, are you planning on being that general manager? If not, you need to bring someone else in. And if you've never run a restaurant, you need to focus on getting an experienced restaurant manager. One problem with that: more experience, more money, right? Okay, so these are the things you have to weigh. The average restaurant manager makes minimum 60 grand. Is that what you're going to pay them? Okay. And is this 6 months? You need to know that going into it. That way you could tell them up front, hey, this is a 6-month gig. All right. Or are you going to keep them on all year long? These are things you need to weigh. All right. Acquired permits and license. Again, your business license, health department, You're going to do the liquor license. You need to get that process going. And also, a lot of times you need that manager in place before they'll issue a license. They're going to ask you, are you operating this? Are you the manager? So you need to have your management in place before you start requesting a lot of these licensing. Lock in your vendors. It's a huge headache when it comes to running a restaurant. Everybody wants to sell you food, and everybody can sell you a cheaper chicken breast. Okay? Again, to me, you got to have some kind of loyalty. For me, I don't jump around to who can give me the cheapest chicken wing. I work with one person. Now, I keep them honest, and I check. But again, I'm just giving myself a bigger headache. If I'm dealing with 3 food vendors, 4 liquor guys, 5 beer guys, find your rep, find your vendors, okay, and be educated going into it. And a lot of, especially the food vendors, for someone new into this industry, that is your opening right there. You get, especially some of these larger companies, they will bring a kitchen consultant, a culinary expert into your kitchen. They will tell you how to organize it, blueprint it. They'll go over, okay, this is what you need to prep on a daily. I mean, they will lay it out for you, okay? So take advantage of that. And a lot of them have a community kitchen they'll drag you into and just kind of show you some of the different stuff. Go make a day of it. Let them cook, wine and dine you, okay? But use those. Same thing for liquor reps. Your alcohol rep, the male or female selling you that liquor, they got a wealth of knowledge. And they also have all kind of free promotional stuff that they can give you. Your little bar mats, your coasters. Mention to them. They'll just load you up with that stuff, okay? So use your vendors as a consultant if needed, okay? A free consultant, all right? They're going to answer every call because of you making those orders with them, all right? Same thing with beer, same thing. Again, and it goes across. This is your pest control. Cleaning supplies. Are you going to have someone bring in cleaning supplies every week, or are you going to wash in-house? Go over this stuff with them, what you're wanting to do. Stock the restaurant. That's not the fun part. Again, a sizable bar, you're looking at around 10 grand minimum for your bar. Restaurant, again, how much sales do you imagine to do? Your food cost is 30%. Okay, so if I bought $10,000 in groceries, I'm expecting to do $30,000 in sales. And then really, initially, in your beginning, you're buying a lot of the stuff that one-time buy. I'm buying the huge thing of pepper. I'm buying this and that you're not having to buy week to week, but the initial, you're going to have to buy. So you need to brace for that. And again, then the opening marketing plan. You need to let them know you're here. Again, don't just open the door, okay? Put it together. You spent all this money to get it going. Don't let it be a secret, all right? Pre-opening training, and this is what I've really specialized in my experience, getting in there and training staff. I always go off on a tangent on here. One thing I've always tried to stress to owners when I go in to train them is the importance of staff. Yeah, I can replace them. I mean, a server, yeah. I mean, I don't have to. They don't have to have a 4-year degree. We understand that. But people discount how many people come to your restaurant, your bar, because of that staff member, because of that bartender, that restaurant manager. Okay, I can tell you. Back in Georgia, where I'm from, my favorite bar was an Applebee's. I don't know if the bartender could have made a Jack and Coke. It didn't matter, okay? I walked in. She was pouring my beer and having my wings ordered before I even hit the stool. I loved her. She's why I went, okay? Don't discount that. Biggest thing I see, again, the people who work in a restaurant are different people, okay? We've talked about this. And I've had disagreements with different managers on how to approach these employees. And this is kind of all around. But as for me, I want my employees to know I care about them. This is business. We're all here to make money. But I care about them. I want the best for them. And I understand how important they are or will be to that restaurant's success. Don't think you can just churn new employees in and people are going to keep coming. No, because then they're going to go to their second favorite bartender. But since you fired that one, okay, now some you have no choice. But I'm more or less talking to the owners and the managers and how you speak to your employees. Make it a good work environment. One of the proudest things I have at that marina, despite all our success, is how many seasonal temporary employees I have knocking my door down to get back every single year. Yeah, they make good money. That's because they love their job. They love who they work with. I've been whatever dishwasher, busboy, whatever they're doing, I've been there. I've done it, okay? So I try to, again, acknowledge that. We're swamped, and they've got a pile of dishes. You know how much it means to a dishwasher to see that manager owner back there helping them? It's not your job, and they don't need to count on you. But it goes a long way. So staff is crazy important to the success of a restaurant. And if you discount that, you're going to feel it, okay? Management training. You need to get some sort of management training in. And again, you could probably dive into this again with your vendors. But there's a lot more to it, okay? What is your policy? What if a customer is unhappy? How do you want them to handle it? What if a employee crosses a line and harasses another employee? How are you going to handle it, okay? Are you going to let them hire and fire people? These are decisions you've got to make, okay? I can tell you if you jump in the hiring and firing process, they see you as their boss, not that restaurant manager, okay? So I try to stay away, you know? Once the restaurant manager says, I love this person, I'll say, okay, I want to sit and talk with them. I'll sit down, chat, and 99 times out of 100, I'm going to give my thumbs up, okay? But make sure you empower your restaurant manager, or else everybody's just going to go over that manager's head and come to you, and I don't have time for that. You know, that's why I pay, again, the staff. I want you to deal with the staff, all right? And customers. What if someone's upset? Their meal was awful. I hate this place. How do you handle that, okay? Do you argue back? You know, if you see someone that probably put a hair in their food, are you going to say, no, I seen you put it, or are you just so sorry about that? These are the decisions you got to make, because you want your manager handling and running your business how you want it. You're the one who invested this money, okay? Kitchen and culinary training. Again, food rep. Unless you want to pay an outside person, get your food vendor in there. Get them to show you. They want your business, all right? Okay, I'm going to kind of move along because, again, I like to rant. Front of house. Run out of time. Front of house, all right? A host isn't just going to naturally know to greet and this is what I need to do, okay? A server's not going to naturally know not to put their fingers in the glass as they're walking away cleaning. They're not going to know this stuff, okay? This is stuff you need to relay to them, okay? My one rule is everyone leaves happy. Doesn't matter how I got to do that, okay? If they're upset with you, let me step in, okay? Because I'll smooth them, and a lot of times when they're upset with the server, they give the manager a completely different treatment, all right? And then bartending. Bartending is a lot more than just pouring beer, okay? There's a lot to it, and I guess, you know, they can learn cocktails, but they don't need to slowly learn safety, okay? Over-pouring. You know, liquor is your most profitable item if done right, all right? And it's also the easiest to pour all your money in to watch it go, okay? So having that correct training, like Knoxville Bartending School. I'm just kidding. It's the school I own. All right, structures in place for daily operations. Big deal here, okay? You need checklists. You need... When I walk in, this is what I'm prepping. When I'm closing the front of the house, this is what I got to do. And it's up to your managers to check that off, okay? Because if you don't, they won't. You know, I worked a 12-hour shift where I hadn't stopped yet. Maybe I missed that chicken finger on the table. I don't know. I'm just ready to go. The manager needs to check them out. I tell my managers, if I go see something, I'm not going to an employee. I'm going to you. I'm making you do it, okay? And that's how you relay that responsibility onto them. All right, if I walk in, I'm not blaming anybody but you, okay? And that's kind of, it puts them on them, and they're going to make sure they check this stuff out. All right, common denominators in felon bars. Poor inventory habits, most common thing, okay? I just walk in the kitchen, see what we're low on, and I order it, all right? That's just horrible, okay? No, inventory isn't just done so I know how to order, okay? I'm doing that so I can look at my week. You know, what was my food cost for that week, all right? If you don't measure it, you can't improve it, all right? If I don't know my food cost right now is at 35%, I'm just going to keep going when I'm keep doing what I'm doing, okay? So knowing, not just I need this, I need to order this. What's your numbers? What's your cost, okay? Again, if you're not measuring it, you can't fix it. Poorly trained management and staff. Again, I mean, you've worked in a restaurant and you walk into one of these places, you just cringe, okay, because you see it, all right? You see the manager or owner. I think it's coming. But you see the manager, again, not doing what they're supposed to do. The management, again, they cross that line with employees too much. They're loitering with employees. These are the things that run good employees off, okay? Good employees. Without good employees, you're not going to, again, have a good restaurant business going on, okay? It starts at the top, leadership. I hate to, you know, you got to, that management has to be bought in, and they have to exude that bought in to their staff. Failing to make sure everyone leaves happy. You can have 100 customers come in, 99 leave happy, and that one leave upset, and that one go to Yelp, Facebook, Google, and just smear your name, okay? And it's always kind of blown up a little bit. And as a customer, I'm looking at a review. Who am I going to believe, a business or a person? I'm going to believe the person, okay? So, again, people leaving happy, is sometimes you got to take it off the chin. It was that rude individual who expected this or that, wanted it for free. You knew they wanted it for free. And you got to smile, confident, let them walk out the door. Okay, it's worth it. Okay, it's worth it. All right, it's one of the toughest things. Now, if you got someone coming every week doing that, then you handle it differently. But again, it's them leaving happy. It's not worth that, what, $15 in cost. It isn't worth our name getting smeared on the internet for thousands to see. Okay, competent. Take care of them. Make sure they leave happy. Even if you're taking it off the chin, you know you are. Make sure they leave happy. Again, poor leadership. You know, is the manager enjoying the ride? You know, is are they at the bar? Well, that's what I'll say next. Is everybody at the bar drinking every day? This is a must for me. There is absolutely no drinking. And I was the big meanie, even with the owners. When the first season I was there, they'd come in and this was their playground. That ended, okay? Don't poop where you eat. You know what I'm saying? If you're out there drinking, you're going to have times where you drink a little too much and you're going to say something you shouldn't, okay? You don't mix. And you don't let your employees mix. You know, you always want to start with, yeah, you can have a beer. Then that turns to two. The bartender, their best friends. That third one, no, they didn't pay for, okay? That Jack and Coke, it's a double, but they're paying for single prices. Stay away. And it's not a good look when you have staff written across your back and you're sitting at the bar, okay? So I don't do it. And that right there is the most common reason bars fail. When I go in there and they're struggling and it's just a shit show, they're at the bar drinking, okay? I only have one. Your staff don't respect you, okay? You get sloppy. There's no way you're punching these guidelines at the night. Let's make sure we sweep. Is there any gum under the table? You're not doing that. It's, yeah, get out, give me your money, go. Okay? And that trickles on a lot of different things that you do with the restaurant. Ooh, got 1 minute. Theft. Okay? I was told jokingly you got two kinds of employees, those who steal from you and those who are thinking about it. Okay? Again, this is where the inventory comes in. I know what my liquor cost is. Okay? We sold 1,000, but I got 500 missing. That doesn't make sense. I got 3 bottled beer missing. You don't overpour a bottle of beer, okay? And even when it gets in the point of sale system, hitting coupons, discounts, kitchen people still, you have to have control of your product, okay? Because it goes missing. That is very common. And poor reputation. You have a combination of those top things that add up. Again, people are going to stop coming. Okay. We're going to go over these real quick. And this is the last thing. Food cost, 30% or lower. That's your goal on food cost. Now, again, steaks, you're going to be around 50%. But pickles, I'm going to be around 20%. Okay. Know your food cost. And there's a lot of different things that go into food cost. Untrained kitchen staff making mistakes, that affects your food cost. Untrained servers ringing in the wrong drink, that affects your food cost. So you can see where that training is important. Labor costs 30%. Liquor costs 15%. Beer costs 20%. 28% for wine. And last thing I'm going to go over is turnover rate, and that's kind of where I say, you know, I'm most proud of our turnover rate, okay, and the people who come back every year. Take care of your employees, and they'll take care of you, okay? Make it a fun environment, but obviously you want to be successful and profitable, okay? Guys, I could rant another hour, but I'm out of time. Thank y'all so much for coming. Appreciate y'all coming. If you're interested in any of those, the paperwork, the checklist, some of the business plan stuff, just come up and give me your email. I'll be happy to email it to you.